people of Largest Nest. If you're a guest today and have children in the fifth grade and under, let them follow this group of other young people for a time in junior church. Well, good Sunday morning, everybody. Whether you're joining us here or online, it is wonderful to share time with you in song and praise. How many times have you wondered why something is happening to you? Why me, Lord? How many times have you voiced your dismay at God? Some tragedy, an accident, an unfortunate event? Why me? But then how many times have you realized the benefits of some of those experiences through hindsight? Oh, now I see. Well, last week we began a new series, walking with one of the most obscure prophets in the Bible who had the same wonderings and questions, the prophet Habakkuk. If you learn anything from Habakkuk, please learn that God is not afraid of your questions. However, also learn that you may not be ready for his answers. Ever heard the expression, don't ask if you don't want to know? As we looked at the opening to this hidden gem in the Bible, we learned that Habakkuk was heartbroken over Judah's sin and unfaithfulness to God. He was upset because the Lord seemingly was not doing anything about it. He called out to the Lord, in essence, how long are you going to let them get away with this sin? Well, the Lord heard Habakkuk's complaint, and he answered by assuring him that he was fully aware of Judah's sin. In fact, he had the consequences of their sins prepared and on the way. But his answer was not at all what Habakkuk was expecting. God said his answer was to use the Babylonians to bring judgment on the people of Judah. Well, to say the least, Habakkuk can't believe what he's hearing. How could the Lord use the Babylonians to judge his people? The Babylonians were a sinful, terrible people. Take a look back at how they're described in chapter 1, verse 6. Ruthless and impetuous. They seize dwellings not their own. In other words, they just take what they want. Verse 7, they're feared and dreaded. They are a law to themselves. They promote their own honor. That's a polite way of saying they don't care about anything or anybody but themselves. Verse 8, swooping to devour. Verse 9, intent on violence. Gather prisoners like sand. Verse 10, mock kings. Scoff at rulers, laugh at all the fortified cities. Guilty people whose own strength is their God. And these are the people who will bring judgment on God's people. Prompted by the violence and injustice among the people of Judah, Habakkuk's first complaint was, why doesn't God do something about it? And though very unexpected, that was his answer. It answered Habakkuk's first question, but it immediately raised a second question. The Babylonians were worse than the people of Judah, so how could God use those who are more wicked to judge those who are less wicked? Was God fair? You ever asked that question? Let's pick up in verse 12 of chapter 1 and take a look at Habakkuk's second complaint. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. I don't get it. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. I can't rationalize this. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You've made people us. You've made us like the fish in the sea, like the sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet. And so he rejoices and is glad. And therefore he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. And I'm not talking about fishermen here. I'm talking about Babylonians. These come through and just take up everything, swoop what they want, they devour. And as a result, they live in luxury. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? Is that your plan? What kind of plan is that, God? You can see Habakkuk was just as confused by God's answer as we are. It's like the more he knows, the less he understands. Now skip the first verse in chapter 2, and let's look at God's answer beginning in verse 2 of chapter 2. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. Let me make this perfectly clear. And then you go tell everybody what I'm saying. Now this section is very important. And we really aren't going to like it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. And who has appointed that time? Mm-hmm. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. What I tell you is true. Take it to the bank. Though it linger in our mindset, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. It will be here at its appointed time. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Indeed, talking about the enemy again, Wine betrays him. He's arrogant, never at rest, because he is as greedy as the grave, and like death, never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all of the peoples. Verse 6, will not all of them taunt him with ridicule and scorn? That's the end of the story. Now let's stop there for a moment. Last week, God made a general promise that he would judge Babylon. God answered Habakkuk a second time, explaining that Babylon will also be judged for their sin, but it would be in God's timing. That's not something we like to hear. That's not something we like to be reminded of when we want the answers now. Well, this week's passage gets a little more specific in two ways. Number one, God highlights Babylon's specific sins. There's a woe with each one of them. And two, he shares the corresponding judgments for each of those sins. And in so doing, he's highlighting the various ways in life that even today, people seek to advance themselves in their own ways and to their own ruin. How many of you would agree we live in a very selfish world? A me generation. It's been going on forever. This buds for who? For you. L'Oreal, because I'm worth it. Meanwhile, God gives us the key verse in all of this prophecy. You've heard it many times. Paul quotes it several times, and Martin Luther turned to it often during the Reformation. Verse 4, the righteous will live by faith. A life lived by faith is a life lived always trusting God to act justly. I wish I didn't have to say this. In his own time. The Lord assured Habakkuk that everything was under control and just trusting. So what's going on in this passage? God raised up the Babylonians to bring judgment to the surrounding nations for their sins. But the Babylonians were not motivated by any concern for God or for justice. Babylon was motivated purely by greed. Back in verse 5, he said, he is as greedy as the grave, and like death, never satisfied. It's never enough. You know people like that? No matter what they do, no matter what they get, no matter how high on the ladder they climb, it's never enough. Rockefeller was once asked, how much money is enough? To which he quickly replied, just a little more than a man has. The Babylonians were driven by their greed. They weren't thinking about God at all. Like the Taliban of today, they were mercilessly sweeping through the land, conquering the surrounding nations in order to build an empire for themselves. The Babylonians thought they had it all. And if there was anything left, they were going to take it too. But they were about to lose it all. That coming judgment is described in great detail in our passage. Remember, verse 6 says, will not all of them, the nations that they've conquered and all of that, will not all of them taunt him, Babylon, with ridicule and scorn, saying? And what follows is a taunt song, a song or a poem designed to mock or scorn another. And although the song is obviously directed against Babylon, the words are so generalized in such a way that the song could apply to anyone here today who acts and lives the way Babylon did. You want to know how to lose it all? It's really quite easy. Just follow man's way instead of God's way. And what is man's way? Gain the world and lose your soul. Gain whatever you can, however you can. And in the end, death is still going to get you. The taunt song is made up of five different woes and judgments. Each woe first identifies a specific sin of greed or selfishness that we see today. And then it pronounces God's judgment on that sin. If you live like this, expect this. The irony of the song is, those who practice these things even today may think that they are gaining wealth and security, power, pleasure, and guidance, when in reality, they will lose all that they had ever hoped to gain. Let's take a closer look at each one of these sins and their judgments. First of all, the sin, stealing. As in stealing from others in order to gain wealth for yourself. Look at verse 6. Woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion. How long must this go on? Stealing is such a serious sin that God made it one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Now, most people don't break into a home or rob a bank, but many steal in other ways. Padding our expense reports, taking things home from the office that don't belong to us, loafing on the job, leaving early, arriving late, calling in sick when we're not. We steal by shortchanging our customers, overpricing goods or services, price gouging in a crisis. People steal from insurance companies by making fraudulent claims or misleading statements. People steal from the government by cheating on their taxes. Students steal in school by cheating on tests and plagiarizing papers. Stealing is a much bigger problem than breaking into houses or robbing banks. We are guilty of stealing anytime we take something that is not rightfully ours. So God's judgment on those who steal, he says, you will lose all that you've taken. You will lose rather than gain. Verse 7 and 8, will not your creditors suddenly arise? Will they not wake up and make you tremble, then you will become their prey. Because you have plundered many nations, the people who are left will plunder you. We need to realize you never gain any advantage by stealing. Proverbs, the book of wisdom, says, ill-gotten treasures have no value, but righteousness delivers from death. When you steal from others to gain wealth for yourself, God says you'll lose all that you've taken. The second sin is injustice. Treating others unjustly to gain security for yourself. Look at verse 9. Woe to him who builds his house by unjust gain. We all long for security. And we're often tempted to treat others unfairly in order to strengthen our own security. But we must remember that God is just and he is our security. So what's God's just judgment when we practice injustice? You will forfeit your life. Ouch, that's pretty serious. Pick up at verse 10. You have plotted the ruin of many peoples, shaming your own house and forfeiting your life. The stones of the wall will cry out, and the beams of the woodwork will echo it. It's a lie and a deception to think you can obtain any kind of security by means of injustice. There's a third sin, violence. Hurting others to gain power for yourself. Babylonians had a reputation for cruelty and violence. They committed unconscionable crimes against the nations they attacked, and they did it out of their greed for power. They didn't care who they hurt as long as it built their empire. Look at verse 12. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by injustice. People hurt other people all the time. You ever been hurt? People hurt other people all the time to make ourselves seem more powerful than others. It happens in schools all the time. It happens on social media. Cyberbullying sometimes to the point of suicide. We say something that damages someone else's reputation in order to make ourselves look better to our peers. It can happen at work, it can happen at school, it can happen at home, it can happen at church. Anytime you hurt another person to increase your own power, you have committed a sin of violence against that person. And what is God's judgment when you seek to gain power through violence? All your efforts will come to nothing. Verse 13. Has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people's labor is only fuel for the fire? That the nations exhaust themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. God is the only one with real power. And he has determined that all your efforts at grabbing power for yourself will prove useless in the end. Instead of increasing power for yourself, you're only increasing your judgment. The nations will exhaust themselves for nothing. The Babylonians thought they were building a world empire that would last forever. History shows it didn't even last 100 years. Empires come, empires go, but God remains forever. People grab for a little empire of their own, a school, on the team, at work, at home, in church. It doesn't matter if you're grabbing for the whole world or just a part of it. The principle remains the same. God owns it all. The heavens and the earth and everything in it. You can exhaust yourself for nothing when you grab for power for yourself. Because in the end, it's not you the world's going to talk about. In the end, the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the seas, as every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. A fourth sin, exploitation, taking advantage of others to gain pleasure for yourself. Verse 15, woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from the wineskin till they are drunk, so that he can gaze on their naked bodies. The specific example given here, of course, is getting someone drunk so you can take advantage of them. Sadly, it still takes place in our day through alcohol and other means. People take advantage of others through date rape, drugs, sexual abuse, pornography. Exploitation doesn't have to be sexual. Gambling casinos take advantage of poor people's hopes in order to line their own pockets. Drug dealers take advantage of people's addictions in order to benefit themselves. And what's God's judgment when you exploit others to increase your pleasure? You will be filled with shame and disgrace. Verse 16 just says it. You will be filled with shame instead of glory. Now it's your turn. Drink and be exposed. The cup from the Lord's right hand is coming around you with disgrace, and disgrace will cover your glory. The violence you have done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and your destruction of animals will terrify you. For you have shed human blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. You will be filled with shame instead of grace. God says you exploited others for your own pleasure. Now it's your turn. You used your power to take advantage of others. Now it's your turn. Judgment is coming, and all your glory will be covered with disgrace. You cheated others violently. You treated them violently, and your violence will return on you and overwhelm you. Well, there's one more. That sin, idolatry. Simply stated, idolatry is trusting something other than God to direct your life. Verse 19. Woe to him who says to wood, come to life, or to lifeless stone, wake up. Can it give you guidance? It's covered with gold and silver, and there's no breath in it, no life to it. Now, idolatry doesn't necessarily mean bowing down to a statue. Anytime you trust something other than God to direct your life, you are committing the sin of idolatry. The Babylonians were idolaters who trusted in their own strength, in their own skill, in their own greed, rather than trust in God. And what's God's judgment? When you trust something, anything other than him to guide your life, you will be deceived and disappointed. Verse 18, of what value is an idol carved by craftsmen? Or an image that teaches lies? For the one who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. And verse 20 provides the contrast to the lifeless idols. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let the whole earth be silent before him. Provides a fitting end to this entire section. As those who rely on stealing and injustice and violence, exploitation of others and idolatry are told to hush, keep silent before the Lord. God is in his temple. He is holy. Stop all your endless striving for greater wealth, security, power, and pleasure. Be silent before him. Turn away from your worthless idols and follow the living Lord in heaven, who alone can fulfill your longings and desires of your soul. As we close, we're about finished. Please give me a moment. Let's take a quick look at God's way. That was man's way. God's way, as is often the case, are not our ways. Man's way, remember, was to gain the whole world and lose your soul. God's way is to lose your life for Christ and find it. How do we do that? How do we turn our lives from the mindsets of the world that drastically? How do you lose your life and find it? Well, you lose your life for Christ by serving God instead of serving yourself. Seeking first his righteousness and his kingdom, not seeking first your desires, not seeking first to build your kingdom. You serve God instead of self by giving rather than stealing. Ephesians 4:28 says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. I still love the story of the young man who was caught robbing a place. And as he appeared before the judge, he asked him, how do you plead? He said, I plead not guilty, Your Honor. And his the judge said, but we have you on video. You see, you're stealing from this guy. How do you plead innocent? He said, I plead innocent by way of Ephesians 4:28. And so the judge reads that verse. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. The guy said, no, judge, no, you're reading that wrong. That verse says, who has been stealing must steal. No longer let him work with his hands, doing what is to serve God instead of self by giving instead of stealing. You serve God instead of yourself by practicing integrity rather than injustice. Remember, the Babylonians thought that practicing injustice would bring them security. How do you get security? By practicing integrity. Proverbs 10:9 says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. But whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. And you serve God instead of self by acting with compassion rather than violence. Philippians 2, verses 1 to 3 says, if you have any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, doing nothing out of selfish ambition, but in humility consider others better than yourself. You serve God instead of self by serving rather than exploiting. Jesus spells out this contrast in Matthew 20. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And then finally, you serve God instead of yourself by worshiping the living God rather than idols. Habakkuk wondered if God would judge the Babylonians for their sins. He wondered, is God fair? In response, God shares with Habakkuk the various judgment in store for the Babylonians for each of their sins. God is completely fair. God is completely just. Because Babylon was seeking to build its empire for itself rather than seeking to serve God, Babylon was going to lose it all. That was what Habakkuk wanted to hear. But like us, many times, what he didn't want to hear was, it will be in God's time. People today still pursue wealth, security, power, and pleasure. They trust in idols of their own making rather than God. But God says to Habakkuk and to us, their labor is only fuel for the fire. They exhaust themselves for nothing. But the Lord is in his temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Jesus said, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? For what can anyone give in exchange for their souls? So what does that say to us today? Go back to verse 1. Habakkuk says, I will stand my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Habakkuk boldly proclaims his faith in God. You may not understand the Lord's plan like us, but we can trust him. When the world looks grim, righteous will keep on living by faith. When we do not see the answer or the deliverance, the righteous will stand firm and keep on living by faith. So what's our takeaway? We need to live by faith, serving and trusting the Lord.